where nothing is taken seriously.
Welcome to the third episode of Doing All the Wrong Things the Wrong Way. As a part of the Wrong Biennale, this podcast gathers artists and researchers from down the rabbit hole pavilion, anti-camera, and institutionings to reflect on artistic research as a situated, unstable, and process-driven practice. Episode 3 centers on Nani through an audio performance interspersed with questions and reflections between Aishwarya and the artist. Rather than a linear interview, the episode unfolds as a layered listening experience where voice, sound, memory, and interruption operate as critical tools. Moving between fragments of performance and moments of commentary, the episode collapses distinctions between artwork and reflection, rehearsal and archive, and the academic and the artistic. Nani's practice emerges through rhythm, repetition, and untranslatability, resisting explanatory frameworks in favor of attunement and proximity. Reflection does not clarify the work but sits alongside it, exposing how meaning is produced through partial access, embodied listening, and refusal.
The first time someone called me a whore.
Seated in the cold, dark Mario Vegas room at the Sound Louis Municipal Theatre on the 17th of November 2023 with colleagues yet to become friends, a city yet to become home, and a cultural gesture yet to become tacit, my senses were attuned to the scent of popcorn, baby powder, and floating body on a dimly lit stage, which was being decorated as we seated ourselves, like one would a shrine. A single spotlight demanded the entirety of my attention, transforming the point of focus into something you see through a keyhole, a personal moment that made me aware of my corporeal presence, witnessing her. The contours of this vision, hazy with the heat of the light and mist of the smoke machine, further lent the image an ethereal quality, making it difficult for me to ignore the simulation of a bathroom, her bathroom. Moments later, her body stepped into the single blue bucket placed in the middle of the spotlight, grabbing some of the powder and then rubbing it on herself. Equally caressingly, the scene was joined by a song, sung in what I believed then was Brazilian Portuguese, releasing the silence in the space and finally decisively calling attention to my lack of knowledge in reading that which was being disclosed.
The first person who ever called me a whore was my mother. I was 9 years old. I got my first period at 9 years old, and therefore my body at the time, still very round in the shapes of childhood, started to gain hair. The only vaginas that I ever saw in my life at that time had no hair at all. I mean, they had hair, but they were shaved. I'm talking about my mom and my aunties. I mean, all of the aunties except one, that every time that I bathed with her, she would ask me, "What are you looking at?" But I didn't have the courage to say, "I am looking at your hairy pussy." Rainha dos raios, rainha dos raios, tempo bom, tempo ruim. One day, I went to the shower with my mother, and I tried to hide my pussy from her. But if you want to know something that is really hard to do, hide your pussy from your mother. just right. Especially if you're 9 and you're in the shower with her. Rainha dos raios, rainha dos raios. My mother said, what is it over there? And I said, nothing. She turned me around. She looked at me for 3 infinite seconds. And then she screamed at me, pointing her finger at my face. And then at my pussy without hair. Don't you ever do that again. Only whores do that. Tempo bom, tempo ruim.
The desire was telling, it was storytelling, right? I didn't really know that it would be like the story of my life because like they are scenes, you know, like they are separated, but somehow they are connected, you know. They have some connection in time between them.
Yeah.
And like, I think that the reason why I wanted to tell a story so bad, like, or have the power to have the action to tell a story so bad, is because I was in a moment in my life where I felt out of control in many things. Like, I was divorcing, and like, I was having second thoughts about some friendships, and you know, this type of feeling that I had no, I was not being the protagonist of my own story. And that made me feel like suffocated, that like, that made me not only out of control, but like really out of authority, like being an author of something, you know?
When was this happening?
When was this? Let me see.
Sometime in one of the 9 lives.
Yes.
I started to learn English in my teenage years in the School of Bible. The School of Bible is a relatively common type of institution in Latin America mostly, in which people from English-speaking countries come to the third world, I mean, to the global south, as missionaries, to teach people how to speak English. That means that you learn the verb to be through Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. I myself have never been much interested in any chapter 4, verse 3, so I tried to talk to the missionaries about other things. And therefore, I ended up befriending them most of the time. Mental note: stop being friends with gringos. One day, I was hanging out with some of those gringos, and my boyfriend at the time and I were in a snack bar. And at some point, the theme of the conversation became cheesecake. Oh, I love cheesecake. It's so good. My favorite flavor is cheesecake, 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 cheesecake. The thing is, I didn't know what a cheesecake was. At that time, it was not something you could just buy in a padaria in a hood in Brazil. Cheesecake was fancy stuff, chic. So yeah, I didn't know nothing about cheesecake. And at some point, I had to go to my boyfriend like, what is a cheesecake? He was shocked. Oh my God, you don't know what a cheesecake is? Guys. Nani doesn't know what a cheesecake is. Do you put cheese on a cake? Nani, you are so funny. I didn't talk about it anymore.
boyfriend and I had a friend in common, Natalia. Natalia and I lived close to each other, so we used to sleep over in each other's houses every other weekend. That night, I was in Natalia's house, and later she comes to me and says, "Hey, do you want some cocktails?" She showed me a bottle of vodka that she had stolen from her dad's storage, and we went to the kitchen. We mixed vodka with condensed milk, strawberries, and some other wrong decisions. I love wrong decisions. Can you all guess what we had for dessert? Yep. Cheesecake.
To do such a scene with somebody that you've known, you make certain choices. You choose a certain person, you choose a certain kind of trust that you can have with the person. There's also what I think really stood out was that it was two women or women identifying characters on stage doing this to each other with absolute, and suddenly there was not a power dynamic in the most typical sense of asking a woman to do it to a man or a man to do it to a woman. Yeah.
I've been raised with cats. Mostly with black cats. The first two black cats I ever had were twins. I found them on a dumpster. They found me wandering around. At first I only saw one, Preta. I went to help her, got some food, and instead of me going back to her, she followed me and she showed me where her another sister was, that I called Annie. I took them both and I took them home with me. And I started to grow up as a black cat. Some Christmas later, all of my family were together in Olinda, in my auntie's house, the big house of the family. And my stepfather decided that he would go back home by himself one night before Christmas. This stepfather of mine, he used to do a lot of things that I asked him not to do. One of the things that I asked him not to do was to not leave a slit of the window open. He said that he would do that so the house would be more airy and less stuffy. And I told him that it didn't make any sense and it wasn't safe for any of the cats. He always did things that I asked him not to do. That Christmas was very rainy and he, of course, left the window open. Annie went out by the very thin slits and she wasn't able to come back and she slipped to the floor. I lived on the 6th floor at that time. I asked that man not to do many, many things. But I wish I had asked for an apology.
Can you also tell me a bit about the title itself?
Yes. So, I was raised by Leos. Of course, when all of this was happening in my life, I missed my mom a lot. Because, like, even though this is not, like, the type of relationship that I have, like, I don't feel so much physically safe with my mama. But, like, when I was trying to look for myself, I was looking for my ancestors. And, like, she's the only blood ancestor that I have in my existence, you know, because like she was adopted in a white family. She's a black woman adopted in a white family. So like, of course that like it's my family. It's not the question here. But the thing about like the ancestry that I have is like the only image, the physicality that I have is my mom. So like I used her to channel something. I feel that these stories of first times, like the ones that I chose, had to do with the path that I was becoming, you know? Like, I wasn't really much aware of myself and my body. I was feeling very lost in that time. So, like, I brought back stories that for me was like core memories or something that changed when this happened in my life. Not only like trauma-wise, although many of them are, but like not only trauma-related, you know, but something that made me remind of myself, you know? Like when I had the scenes like in my mind, they would like bring myself back to me, bring me back to myself, yeah.